Good evening, brothers and sisters. I'm so thankful for this privilege I have to preach the Word of God among you. May the Holy Spirit to help us to understand His Word. The passage, the Bible passage I adopted to preach this evening from Ecclesiastes chapter 2, from verse 1 to 11, 24 to 26. On the page 704, the Bible is the Word of God, inerrant and infallible. If you will find it, please listen to the Word of God. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 1 to 11. I said in my heart, "Come now, I will test you with pleasure. Enjoy yourselves." But behold, this also was vanity. I said of laughter, "It is might," and of pleasure, "What use is it?" I searched with my heart how to cheer my body with wine, my heart still guiding me with wisdom, and how to lay hold on fully, till I might see what was good for the children of men to do under heaven during the few days of their life. I made great works. I built houses and planted vineyards for myself. I made myself gardens and parks, and planted in them all kinds of fruit trees. I made myself pools from which to water the forest of growing trees. I bought male and female slaves, and had slaves who were born in my house. I had also great possessions of herds and flocks, more than any who had been before me in Jerusalem. I also gathered for myself silver and gold, and the treasure of kings and provinces. I got singers, both men and women, and many concubines, the delight of the sons of men. So I become great, and surpass all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me, and whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them, and I kept my heart from no pleasure. For my heart found pleasure in all my toil, and this was my reward for all my toil. Then I considered all that my hands had done and the toil I had expended in doing it. And behold, all was vanity and a striving after wind, and there was nothing to be gained under the sun. And verse 24 to 26. There is nothing better for a person than that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also I saw is from the hand of God. For apart from him, who can eat or who can have enjoyment? For to the one who pleases him, God has given wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner, he has given the business of gathering and collecting only to give to one who pleases God. This also is vanity and are striving after wind. This is the word of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening. You gather us together again to worship you. Father, we thank you that you deliver us from the power of sin in Jesus Christ, and also adopted us as your son, as your children. Lord, we thank you that you give us your word to nourish our spiritual life. Father, give us good understanding so that we could truly understand your word and apply it in to our daily life, so that our life could be transformed more and more like Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, what the meaning of human life? What can bring the true satisfaction to us? Is it wisdom, pleasure, better than others, or storing the possessions for descendants? Solomon, the king, in his book, tells us all these things are vanity under the sun. Just for this reason, many people have no interest in to read the book of Ecclesiastes. They think it is too negative and too boring to find any encouraging in it. However, if you sit down and carefully study this book with your heart, you will find that it's really a great misunderstanding of seeing Ecclesiastes as a negative book. On the contrary, this book is a very positive book, which teaches us a very positive and important message to the world, especially to us as children of God. And if you study it carefully, you will agree that all the negative statements or negative arguments Solomon uses all the way down to lead to a positive message to all the mankind, especially to us. That is, we should fear God. If you want to find meaning and true satisfaction in your life, you must fear God. And all the negative statements are significant and necessary because they all serve one purpose: to correct the wrong worldview of human beings and eventually bring human beings to the right one. So Ecclesiastes is a very wonderful book and an important book for evangelist and even for pastoring things for us. It's so important book for us. In order to expose the wrong worldview people hold, and which sometimes influence also God's people on this world, in this passage we read just now, Solomon the king tests his heart for us with pleasure, to see whether pleasure can bring the true satisfaction and meaning to our life. Solomon the king chooses pleasures for his test because pleasure is one of the main purpose, a main goal for which the world strives. And does pleasure can really bring people the true satisfaction? What is the proper way in which we should pleasure as the children of God? Where can we find the true pleasure or true meaning for our life? This is what we think about through the Word of God this evening. I have 3 points here to share with you. First of all, you should know the pleasure is not evil, but a gift of God. Years ago, there was an idea, maybe even today also, a very popular idea throughout the church in China. Pleasure is a sin. Christian could not enjoy the food freely, that means meat, very big meat, freely and publicly, because it would be accused of setting their minds on the flesh. All that would be seen as nourishing their flesh, sinful desire. That is ungodly lifestyle. It's not fit to the Christian life. When they came to the Bible and carefully read it, however, they found they were wrong with such kind of the idea to treat treasure as sin. It is not what the Bible say about pleasure. They cannot find a single verse or passage in Bible which teaches that pleasure is sin. The Bible never teaches that. Then what the Bible teaches about pleasure? How does the scripture say about pleasure? The Bible teaches that pleasure is a gift of God for his people. Pleasure is a gift of God for his people. In Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 24, we read just now, said, saying, this is nothing better than a person, than that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. That also I saw is from the hand of God. And also in the chapter 9, verse 7, go eat your bread with joy and drink your wine with a merry heart, for God has already approved what you do. What the Bible say about pleasure here? There is nothing better than for a person that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil, and go eating your bread with joy and drinking your wine with a merry heart. That is what God already approved, or God's pleasure, to see his people do it in such a way. You can see here, the pleasure is not seen in God's eyes, but a gift for his people he created. Therefore, you could freely and thankfully enjoy your life in eating and drinking, because this is a blessing God has for you as children of God. When would pleasure become problem? We could ask the question. When would pleasure become problem to human life? The answer is when a person see pleasure as his only meaning or an ultimate purpose in his life, pleasure become a pleasure or an idol in his heart. That's wrong. That is sinful. Yeah, that is sin before the Lord. So we know a pleasure itself is not a sin, but a gift from God for us. We should know that. The second point, apart from God, all pleasure is vanity. Apart from God, all pleasure is vanity. The word vanity is a key word in Ecclesiastes. It occurs around 30 times in this book. Its Hebrew word has been translated by more recent version as viper, vanity, futility, meaningless. It carries the sense of temporary frustration or empty. Another key word in the same book is the phrase under the sun. Under the sun. Under the sun in this book cannot be understood physically, but spiritually, as it refers to a state of life which is autonomous or lived apart from God. That is the sinful lifestyle. Solomon the king, after testing his heart with pleasure, made conclusion, saying, "All pleasure, all was vanity, and a striving after wind. And there was nothing to be gained under the sun." In other words, apart from God, all pleasure is vanity and meaningless. Let us see Solomon's argument. What made him come to this conclusion? Apart from God, all pleasure is vanity. Solomon tested his heart with all kinds of pleasure to see whether his heart could be satisfied by these things. First of all, Solomon tested his heart with wine. Verse 3, "I searched with my heart how to cheer my body with wine." Would this give him insight into what is good for people during their brief stay on earth? Could wine really bring true satisfaction to his life? Certainly not. Why? Otherwise, he would not move quickly to next text. Why cannot bring true pleasure? Probably temporary pleasure, but not eternal. Long pleasure. On verse 4-8, Solomon tells us, he successfully tested his heart with pleasure of great work, of wealth, art, and sex. Verse 4 to verse 8. Please notice the pronoun Solomon used in these verses. Verse 4, "I made great works. I built houses and planted vineyard for myself." Verse 5, "I made myself gardens and parks and planted in them all kinds of fruit trees." Verse 6, "I made myself pools from which to water the forest of growing trees." What Solomon is doing here, for he is building the house of the forest Lebanon for himself to enjoy him life. Like all the great kings in the history date, this event recorded in 1 Samuel chapter 21. Let us continue. Verse 7, "I bought male and female slaves and had slaves who were born in my house. I had also great possessions of herds and flocks, more than any who had been before me in Jerusalem." Verse 8, "I also gathered for myself silver and gold and the treasure of kings and princes. I got singer, both men and women, and many concubines, the delight of the children of men." Solomon also, with pleasure of music, art, and sex test his heart to see whether these things could bring the true pleasure or true satisfaction to his life. You can see that the first pronoun, "I," in this passage occurs for many times. "I made, I built, I planted for myself, I made myself, I bought, I had, I got for myself." many eyes here. Are you familiar with such kind of things? Such kind of voice around you every day in your daily life? All is about me, about myself, nothing about God. That is a self-centered lifestyle. Is there a fundamental difference between the time we live today and the time of Solomon? When you read this scripture, absolutely not. Man still is pride, selfish, and foolish. Just like Solomon says, there is nothing new under the sun. So man needs the truth of gospel to be delivered from the self-centered and empty life. Solomon said in verse 9 to 11, "So I became great and surpassed all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained me." This is God's mercy to Solomon. This is really God's mercy to Solomon. He didn't lost his mind as he became great and rich like Nebuchadnezzar did. Verse 10, "And whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I kept my heart from no pleasure. For my heart, I found pleasure in all my toil. And this was my reward for all my toil." Verse 11, "Then I considered all that my hands had done and the toil I had expended in doing it. And behold, all was vanity and striving after wind. And there was nothing to be gained under the sun." This is the Solomon's conclusion after testing his heart with all kinds of pleasures. Apart from God, all pleasure is vanity. This is also an answer to the opening questions of this book. What does man gain by all the toil at which he toils under the sun? The answer is all was vanity, and there was nothing to be gained under the sun or apart from God. Again, pleasure is not evil or nothing wrong with pleasure, because pleasure is a gift of God. But if people treat pleasure as the goal of his life, the problem has come. The problem is not in pleasure. Problem is not in pleasure, but in people's heart. Men try to be God after the fall and trying to define what is the ultimate goal or ultimate meaning for himself and pursue it in this life. The end of that is vanity. It's vanity. Let us think about this question. The people in this world, willing to accept the word of God, agreeing it that apart from God, all their toil will be meaningless. Absolutely not. Unless God's grace come upon him. Benjamin Shaw, in his book, said, "Those who devote themselves to pleasure find this out. But the deceitfulness of sin is such that the conclusion most pleasure seekers' joy is not that pleasure does not deliver, but that they simply have not indulged enough. That just a little bit more is sure to deliver the satisfaction craved. This is the people in this world, belong to this world, thinking. They don't think the pleasure couldn't bring the meaning or true satisfaction to their life. They think they have not enough pleasure. Enough pleasure. That's wrong. This is really from the line of the Satan and the deceitfulness of sin. But Scripture tells us, when God created man, He put the eternity in man's heart. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. Therefore, nothing can bring man true satisfaction beside God. Just as the French philosopher Pascal said, there is a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of each man, which cannot be satisfied by any created things, but only by God the Creator, made known through Jesus Christ. Only in Jesus Christ our sin is forgiven and we are reconciled in Jesus Christ with God. Only in God we could find true satisfaction. The third point. In Christ, enjoy your life. Exactly true, our main end of our life is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. But at the same time, we could, in Christ, enjoy our life before God. As God's children, redeemed by Christ, how should we treat pleasure in a proper way? Verse 24 and 26. There is nothing better for a person than that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also I saw is from the hand of God. For apart from Him, who can eat or who can have enjoyment? For to the one who pleases Him, God has given wisdom and knowledge and joy. As a Christian, we all believe and have received many spiritual blessings from God in Jesus Christ. But how do we see the pleasure God has for us when we are still on this earth? One may think, pleasure is not important because I no longer belong to this world after I become Christian. And another may think in this way, I cannot truly enjoy our life. I cannot truly enjoy my life until I retire from my work. But all these attitudes to pleasure are wrong. God's will for us is that we may and we should enjoy our life every day before the Lord. Every day we can enjoy the fruit of our toil before God. For yesterday has passed. Tomorrow has not yet come. Only today belongs to us. We can and we should enjoy our daily life with a thankful heart, just as the Lord Jesus Christ teaches us in His prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Why we pray that way? Does it mean If we do not pray, God would not give us daily bread. We know it is really God's mercy for us as He gives us our daily bread that we do not deserve after fall. But God, have mercy on us. I believe that when Jesus Christ teaches this way, in order to remind us, all we have and use in our daily life is from God. We should enjoy it with thankful heart. We do not need to enjoy our life in the future. We can do it right now. The same idea with 24 to 26, which teaches us we can enjoy our daily life and have pleasure before God, because pleasure is a gift of God for us who trust in Him. This is really a great challenging, Qian, brothers and sisters. Do we really believe all we have and use is a gift from hand of God? Do we really enjoy it with a thankful heart before the Lord? You could test your heart. What brings you the true meaning and true satisfaction to your heart? The pleasure or the giver of pleasure? True pleasure to us is only in God through Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Remind us, everything we have and use is a gift from your hand. We thank you for every blessing you give us in Jesus Christ. Help us enjoy it with thankful heart before you every day. May your name be glorified and exalted among your people. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.